Good morning. I'll be bringing a message out of John chapter 9. And if you will, just find your way to it. I'm going to be preaching the whole chapter. I won't read the whole chapter, but I'll be preaching from it. Beginning in verse 1, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, "Why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?" "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. "This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world." I want us to examine three individuals. The last group of individuals are multiple. There are a lot of them. But the first two are just two different men. One of them is the blind man. I want to gain your thoughts concerning him. He was a man that was well known in the community. Everybody knew about this man. He was blind, and he would sit alongside the road, and he would beg for whatever he could get. Blind from birth. Well, the Jews had some different views concerning this man. The first one is that in trying to explain his blindness, some of the Jews believed in prenatal sin. And what that means is while a child is in the womb of the mother, some of the Jews actually believed in prenatal sin. And then there were some other Jews that, secondly, they believed in the preexistence of the soul, saying that a culmination of souls, in their mind, they were thinking it out of the Garden of Eden. That's where they all were. And before they entered the body, they would come out of that garden and they would enter a body at some point in time. Some strange beliefs among the Jews. And so you had those that believed in prenatal sin. And then you had those who believed in the preexistence of the soul. And then thirdly, they thought about the man's affliction and how it was due to his parents. They were trying to lay down the blame on something or someone that was behind the man's blindness. All, in my estimation, all three views are fallacious. They are no good. And Jesus would deal with it. Which brings me to our second individual I want to introduce you to. You already know him, I hope. Jesus. Miracles are always a sign of God's glory and the power of God. The glory of God lies in his compassion. And so the man who gave sight helped the blind man to see. We find that he was displaying God's grace amid the man's suffering. God shows what he can do even in the affliction, sorrow, and pain, disappointment, loss. He enables the sufferer to demonstrate the love and the glory of God. We discover in the scriptures I've read earlier that we are to do God's work while there is time. A lot of us live as if there's no time to bind us. But I assure you, time has its limits. And so we do God's work while there is time. And Jesus said this, so long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I'm glad to know that Jesus cares enough about you and I that he would provide light to help us move throughout life. And this is an important factor. Now, verses 1 through 5 is basically what I have read to you, and that is the core of the sermon. But we discover in verses 6 through 12 how Jesus heal the man. If you'll allow me, I'm going to at least read these scriptures to you. Jesus, he then spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, and others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the same one. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. And of course, the men that were all there, the Pharisees, they immediately started asking more questions. Now, I'll just let you read through that on your own, but let me assure you that in their estimation, Jesus Christ was just a man, an ordinary man, a man trying to take advantage of people, and that he was a sinner himself. The Pharisees had no love, no respect, no regard for Jesus. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. Indeed, he was. But no matter that he is, they strongly disagreed with Jesus. The men, I've introduced you now to two of them, the man who received sight and the man who gave sight. But I'd like you to think about the men who rejected the sight. And I've already alluded to the fact that it's the Pharisees. Three things that they accused Jesus of. Listen to this. The Pharisees thought Jesus had broken the Sabbath law in three ways. Number one, he made clay. Number two, he healed on the Sabbath day. And number three, he placed fasting spittle upon the eyes of the blind man. All these three things, according to the Pharisees, was the breaking of the Sabbath law. What a shame they didn't understand that the very one they're accusing is the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen? I'd like to just give some closing thoughts. And all of these thoughts that I'm going to be using come from verses 35 through 41. And we discover within those scriptures where Jesus looked for the man. You see, the Pharisees, after they listened to the blind man who had been made well to see, they cast him out of the synagogue. Why? Because he referred to Jesus as a prophet. He had nothing bad to say about Jesus. He spoke highly of Jesus, and he was grateful. Well, they wanted to know, do you know where he is? And the once blind man said, no, I don't know where he is. But this one thing I know, I can see because of him. Jesus looked for the man once he was cast out of the synagogue. A historian by the name of Chrysostom put it this way. The Jews cast him out of the temple. The Lord of the temple found him. I'm glad to know that. Jesus went looking for him, and he found him. And the second thought is that the man that Jesus healed, he spoke of Jesus in three ways. Number one, he thought Jesus was a man, but listen, not just a man, but a man among men, supreme upon all men. Secondly, he thought of Jesus as a prophet. What was a prophet? One sent by God to speak the thoughts of God. And then thirdly, listen to this. He thought of Jesus as being the Son of God. Napoleon, interestingly enough, once said, "Gentlemen, I know men, and Jesus Christ was more than a man." And I agree with him. I came across this little poem that kind of sums up everything. I've tried to memorize it. I don't know if I have or not. "If Jesus Christ is a man and only a man, I say that of all mankind I cleave to him, and to him will I cleave always. If Jesus Christ is a God, the only God, I swear I will follow him through heaven and hell, the earth, the sea, and the air." And I thought it went along real well with the scriptures I've been studying and reading. Jesus Christ can do anything. If you believe that, say amen. Are there some things in your life that are troubling you? Things in your life that you can't handle? Things in your life that you need help with? I want to encourage you, call on Jesus. Call on Jesus and he can help you. Turn to him while you can. There may be someone here today, I don't know, but there may be someone here today who's lost. What does that mean? That means they don't know Jesus. They haven't asked Jesus into their heart and their life. And they're lost. And if they die, they'll go to the bottom of hell. But if they turn to Jesus and ask Jesus to save them, Jesus will do just that. He is awesome and he is so good. And I encourage you, if you're that person, I encourage you now, right now, pray, "Jesus, save me, come into my heart." For he will hear you, and he will save you. There may be some here today, you already are a Christian, but you feel like you have been failing in some ways. You need help. You need strength. You need wisdom. You need the Word of God. I just want to encourage you, turn to Jesus. And if you want me to pray with you, I'm going to be here in the front. And I hope you'll come. You come.